at where I'm coming from. I know I'm blessed, and I close my eyes and smile. Sometimes I feel like the richest man in Babylon. And I've done my best, so everything's alright inside. Oh, every morning, oh, every morning, I rise, I stare at the sun.
Welcome to another Animus podcast. Today we're going to be talking with Roman Ivanovs. He's going to be sharing with us how he's built his coaching practice into a retreats company. He's also going to share with us how he's managing to balance that entrepreneurial risk taker with him, with the side that wants to be the supporter and the security for his family. Also, watch out for his top five books that help him create the mindset for being a great coach and a great entrepreneur. Hey Roman, it's great to see you. The last time I saw you was in Bulgaria on the retreat that you organised for the Animus team.
Yeah, oh, great to see you as well. Thank you for inviting me.
You're more than welcome.
To this interview. That's right. It's been a month and a half, I believe.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, time kind of flies. It feels like just the other day we were kind of drinking wine and kind of just hanging out,
chilling out in a jacuzzi, yeah.
And talking about vision and yeah. So, how did you get to doing retreats?
I think that's been a journey of obviously personal development and being curious about other possibilities for how can I think. You know, do different things and maybe combine coaching with creative side of business. And I didn't have any major plans for retreats or travel companies. It was a natural progression from coaching people to exploring the entrepreneurial side of me and what I'm capable of doing outside of coaching. And yeah, it just happened that we found each other. My wife, co-founder, found me. I found her, and we came up with an idea, and we just went for it. Really.
So you and your wife run retreats, and so the sort of the retreat that we went on was kind of a business building retreat. And so you weren't necessarily coaching us as a team, but there was sort of an influence of coaching in what you were doing with us.
Yeah, well, that's true, because we've started with just running Echo Holidays. We wanted to focus on small groups of people who would love to go out there and explore nature or history. And I was also curious about trying to do retreats. So we did a number of them with different types of people, and not businesses, just individuals. And it turned out to be cool. I mean, we loved it. We thought, why not to repeat, another one, but maybe on a more professional level, maybe have a business or a team. And I was like, well, yeah, that sounds good to me, because I've always been interested in coaching entrepreneurs, and back in time I already worked with teams and startups, so it kind of made sense to me. Why not? And I think it influenced me. And once I brought you guys on the retreat, I thought, well, that is actually something that I enjoy a lot, and it let me step in. And although I wasn't directly coaching you as a team, but I felt like my facilitation skills could play a good role in it. So I went for it. Really
brilliant. It was a great experience. That sort of the mixture of facilitated work and exploration as a team, mixed with the sort of the social activities that sort of were sort of mixed in and around that.
Yeah. Well, it's because normally a team building event would consist out of social events and team building events, such as like horse riding or wine tasting, you know, or bungee jumping, whoever wants to do what. And in my view, I think my vision was a combination of coaching, social events, and I saw it as team bonding rather than team building.
Yeah.
Where a small team, medium-sized team could really connect with each other on a personal level, obviously, but also go a little bit deeper than, you know, normally, you know, if you'd go out in the pub, you'd go somewhere for a weekend together. So I was like, let's try and create that dynamic. So I hope it was successful.
Well, it was successful for us. Yeah, definitely so. Yeah. So you talked a little bit there about working with entrepreneurs as a sort of a mentor coach prior to that. Yeah. And I know that you trained with us here at Animus. So sort of what was it from that training you did with Animus that led you to being the entrepreneurial sort of coach?
I've always been observing entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, in my view, successful entrepreneurs, as long as I remember myself doing coaching or business or any business-related projects. And I think, you know, once I remember I moved to London and I immediately enrolled for Animus course.
How did you find us?
And I was actually back in the Netherlands. I was researching. I remember I was researching a couple of schools in the Netherlands. I wasn't really satisfied with the level of maybe coaching or. Anyway, I was, okay, maybe let's move to another country and start everything from scratch. I mean, in terms of, you know, life and personal development. And I found Animus and a couple of other coaching schools. And the first thing, to be honest, the first thing that that was very attractive, that you guys were in the city center. So it was quite convenient. So I was like, I'm going to go for the school that is more central. I remember I moved to London. I spoke to Nick. We had a really nice conversation. I moved to London. I was like, you know, I'm going to either make it or I'm going to call back to the Netherlands and do something else. It was quite an interesting experience. And enrolled for a course, and I didn't really know what to expect, but it was a great personal development experience where I found myself. I basically found new aspects of me doing an interesting thing that I've never done before. And I was, to be honest, I was just trusting my intuition and how I felt back in time. I wasn't really rationalizing and thinking too much, oh, am I going to make money out of it? Or am I going to be successful having a coaching practice or doing something else? I was like, oh, once in my life, I can enjoy something fully without any attachments or labels, and this is what I was doing, to be honest. I think at the end of Animus course, I had to make a decision, or I felt like I had to make a decision what I'm going to do next.
Okay.
And doing business or utilizing my coaching skills was the first thing that came to my mind. And I remember I met a few other coaches who were, you know, pretty good at building business. And I tried to learn from as many people as possible and launched my coaching practice. And I think after 6 or 7 months of running my coaching practice, I realized doing one-to-one isn't something exactly that I want. But I wanted more, but I didn't know what exactly I wanted. Mm. So I was like, I had a feeling there is something else out there. And maybe coaching is just a tool or a technique that I could use further in my career development. And I made the next step. I launched a co-founded travel company. That's how I kind of came to through all these experiences and insights. So if that answers the question, I don't remember what the question actually.
So you kind of started off that notion of how did you get into coaching that? So there you were in the Netherlands. just kind of researching coaching.
Yeah.
What made you, so how did you find yourself doing that? Was there a, had you had a coach? Did you have some sense of coaching was what you wanted to do? How did that come about?
I think that's the question that I've been pondering about for quite a long time. My brain has always wanted to come up with logical, rational answers. You know, there is a chain of events that led me, you know, I was born, you know, I've always wanted to come up with an inspirational story, like, you know, it makes sense, Roman's supposed to be a coach, because that, you know, that what I'm supposed to be doing. I even recently read a horoscope, not that I often read them, but it's like, it says something about life coaching. I was like, wow, this is pretty eye-opening. I discovered coaching in a pretty exciting moment of my life when I was 15 or 16, and I found out that my father was about to die from cancer. And the second thing that I found out that my mom got diagnosed with breast cancer, and she found a life coach.
Okay.
And she told me, you know, she started telling me about all these experiences that she had with a life coach. And I was like, what is this positive thinking thing? I clearly remember we would have interesting conversation about how to think positively. And then the first book was around personal development or something, how to make $1 million or something, a pretty cheesy thing. And from then on, I think I was injected with this idea that there is an alternative way of probably doing or even living, doing things and living life. I didn't quite really understand the concept of coaching. But then I moved to the Netherlands. I was 18, I moved to the Netherlands, and I had natural thirst for growth and personal development. So I researched a number of topics, and I went into philosophy and spirituality and psychology, and I read a number of, you know, a number of books related to business development or, you know, personal development. And I remember I had a conversation with one of my housemates, and I shared all of my sort of internal doubts about whether this is a good career choice. And although I don't know why I was sharing it with him, but I had to find someone to talk to about my, you know, my ambition or whether should I pursue that career. And he said, just go for it. I found a couple of coaches back in my native country in Latvia. And then my mom put me in touch with an interesting coach from Riga who influenced me a lot whether I should pursue that thing. And I just listened to as many people as possible, and I was like, yeah, actually it makes sense. Everything that I've learned about, everything that I'm kind of naturally curious about is kind of related to coaching or personal development or leadership development or business. And I kind of jumped into it. And very interesting enough, because I was 23, you know, the first so-called limiting belief was about, you know, am I old enough to actually do that? Because prior to that, I have an engineering degree in telecommunication. It has nothing to do with coaching. So that was a kind of like leap of faith.
Yeah. That's an amazing story. So as you tell me that, I sort of hear how influential your mum was in sort of being a catalyst to that journey that you've gone on.
Subconsciously, I think she doesn't recognize that. she doesn't even know that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Because I really hear that, you know, that notion of her talking about her experiences with a life coach and what she was getting from it, and then putting in contact with other life coaches so you could see what they were doing and how they were working.
Exactly. I think I was in the process of convincing myself that it's a possible way of me. Well, I think just a possibility is just another opportunity. I was convincing myself that that's actually a thing. It's doable. People do that. It's a job. It can be a business. And you know, the more I was curious, and the more I was like, yeah, absolutely.
And that real sense of curiosity that kind of allowed you to not just stop at being a coach, but even when you became a coach, that curiosity stayed with you to explore. Well, what do I do with this? Because so often. Well, not often, but there are coaches that are coaching and are still not quite satisfied, but are not quite sure what the next step was. And it feels like you went, okay, what else can I do? How else can I do this? And that led you to your travel company.
Yeah.
And so what was that moment then that switched from coaching, then things about how can I do more of this or this in a different way, that led to travel?
I think we talked about it slightly before the interview. It's more connected with being aware, realizing that current state of reality or your current state of mind. I don't know how to call it, but you realize that it doesn't inspire you, or it doesn't fuel you that much. You feel like you're not challenged enough. You're not growing really. And although you kind of it makes sense for you to continue doing that, but there is no challenge in it. And I think the only thing that have always been attractive to me is a challenge, and a challenge has always been associated with new. Completely new, where I have to learn everything from scratch, and that kind of frightens me in a way. But also, I've learned that that's the way for me to grow. If I don't jump into kind of scary or a new, fresh environment with people that I have no connections with, and who probably are much more experienced and skilled that I am, I won't be able to. I won't be able to grow, and I think that's the most attractive part. And traveling was an opportunity, or travel business was an idea that we came up with, because obviously we enjoy traveling ourselves, and my wife. My wife just had a little bit of background in hospitality and travel and tourism. Although, and she also didn't know much about traveling and traveling business. It's just, we felt like we could give it a go. And she was quite scared. She was a manager, director of HR department. And she didn't have any idea that she was going to quit her job to run a business. She, security is one of her base values, needs, so to say. And I was like, I influenced her to quit her job, because because I felt like there is some future vision to this project. So
it's really interesting as you're talking about your sort of your need for new and growth and to learning things from afresh, and your wife. Is your business partner's desire for stability?
Yeah,
it made me sort of go, how did those two things?
That was crazy. that was the most chaotic part of our partnership, as well as professional partnership, but also personal relationship, because her natural desire for stability. Didn't come particularly from herself, but it was coming from me. And I think as a man, I have to create that sense of stability by providing and securing my family, which is an absolutely normal thing. It's just naturally I've always been attracted to taking risks, and huge risks, to jump into something new and learn something new. It's just the process of kind of introducing that jump or introducing that risk to my wife was a bit of a difficult thing, because I didn't know how to communicate it. For me, it was natural, like, you know, don't you think that's, you know, that's me. But for her, it was like, no, are you crazy? You can't just jump from one thing to another. You can't quit a full-time job and start a coaching business, then quit coaching business, start a travel business, and then, you know, from travel business, do something else. And I think communication was the key. I learned how to communicate, you know, the reasoning behind all of my decisions. And before that, I think I was a bit immature in terms of doing it just by myself. I think it was obviously it was more egoistical and naive. But through all of these, you know, arguments and discussions and interesting conversation, I've also understood that communication is the key as well. I also think, by the way, I've coached a number of entrepreneurs who are also co-founded companies with. Not with their wives or husbands, but just with other people. And you know, interestingly enough, they have similar problems, similar challenges that they face, and they see that, you know, communication is the key to building a successful business.
So I suppose your coaching really comes into play around how do you communicate things and how do you seek out somebody's understanding. Yeah. And it's really interesting, as you were talking there was that sort of the traditional side of you, the husband, the provider, and then there's that entrepreneurial side of you as the new, the fresh, the innovative. Yeah. And it just made me go, how do you balance those two things? I don't know if you need to balance them, but what's the balance there?
Robert, I'm learning, to be honest. I don't know. Like, I think, did we talk about a book which is called One Thing?
Just One Thing, yeah.
I don't remember whether I've read it in this book or somewhere else. It says the balance doesn't exist. And I kind of agree. It doesn't exist for me, because I've never tried to pursue balance, although people say that I'm a very balanced person, or at least a very grounded person. And I'm constantly learning to outbalance my extremes, and I think a woman or a business is a great tool for any man to see how inadequate he is in relation to what he wants to achieve. You know, a woman could constantly remind of things that she wants, and which, you know, what's not enough in the family or in life of two people. And business would constantly reflect in life that it's not either effective, it's not automated enough, it just doesn't have cash flow, you know, probably you're not doing something right. And probably you're focusing too much on what you want rather than on what business wants. And I think the same the relationship. I've learned to pay attention to the feedback that I received. And most of the time, 90% of the time, it's the painful feedback. And I'm kind of, I've learned how to accelerate the acceptance process. So I'm accepting that feedback, accepting that, okay, that's painful. Before, it would take me a week to agree that my ego is focusing on something which is not bringing value into my life. And now it's like, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to probably, you know, switch off, meditate for a few minutes, and like, yes, that's true, that feedback is right.
So it sounds there that you're using your relationship and your business as sort of feedback loops around, you know, how can you improve yourself, or how can you show up more as a more authentic you, as a more...
Yeah, that makes sense to me, by the way, because it's I see relationships not just with your spouse, but also with your colleagues or your business partners as a mirror, as well as business, by the way. It's like it always reflects what you're good at, but also it reflects your inadequacies or something that you need to work on. And sometimes the answer is not just you or your skills or how well you're doing something. It's sometimes also, you know, how you perceive yourself or how you perceive your business. In my case, I found that 90% of my results came from how I perceived myself and how I felt, what I felt about myself in a relationship business, on relationships, how well I could perform in a business or how well I could negotiate something, or also, you know, who am I as a husband.
Yeah, so there's a real sense I get from you here that there's something about who are you and how could you improve who you are and what you're doing. And that by getting that feedback, because earlier on you said that when you wanted to make a new decision or a new choice, you'd ask everybody around you to get that feedback. So there's something about, you know, getting the outside world or getting information in to sort of go, oh, what do I do with that? And then making that step, that change, that decision. You spoke about sort of, you know, reading lots of self-help books and entrepreneurial stuff and leadership stuff. So if you were to, if somebody was watching this and they were wanting to know, you know, what were your five, let's go for five, your five, the five books that sort of had an impact or an influence on you, what might you go for there?
And it's an interesting question. I see a lot of YouTube interviews where people have been interviewed, ask questions, what is your best book, what's your favorite book? Like, one day I'm going to be asked this question. I want to be asked this question. I've always believed that a book, there are several stages to anyone's development, whether it's business or personal. And a book for, let's say, a person who wants to start a business might not be the one, the right book for the person who is, let's say, in the very beginning of discovering what they're good at. So it's really a very subjective, you know, I think, answer. But if to ask me, like, what are the top five books that I've read, I think number one that I'm reading right now actually is quite powerful. It's called Principles by Ray Dalio. He's the founder of the company called Bridgewaters.
Okay.
It's an investment company based in the US. He's been nominated as one of the top 100 most influential people in the world by Times. And he explains the importance of gathering feedback from all around, you know, from your peers, from your mentors, from your friends, and questioning their feedback, but also questioning how well did you receive that feedback.
And
he does emphasize total open-mindedness. He said, if you want to receive, if you want to change something, you've got to be super honest and super transparent about yourself. And it reflects with I think, my philosophy of how to do things. Second book is The Alchemist. Back in time, it inspired me to kind of step into the story and imagine that I'm the hero of this plot. Third book. I've read a lot of books by Tony Robbins, and I think one of the first books was The Giant Within.
Yeah,
I was rereading it like crazy, trying to make sense what he actually made. I was quite young and couldn't grab the sense, but I think any books by Tony Robbins, and then Psycho-Cybernetics.
What's that one?
it's a book by by an interesting person. His name is Marcus Schulz or something. But it's very easy to Google or Amazon. He used to be a plastic surgeon, and he performs thousands of surgeries for people who wanted to change their personalities and they wanted to change the way they felt about themselves. And he discovered that 90% of people who underwent the surgery didn't receive the result that they were looking for. And he quit his practice and he went into kind of research, you know, and researching people, you know, what they actually want to get out of changing their faces.
So that idea there that sometimes we crave a change, we think there is that changing ourselves physically will give us the thing we're looking for, but actually it's a perception or an emotional or belief change. So when we, you know, have plastic surgery, we may still feel the same.
Yeah, exactly. This is what he talks about, gives practical advice on how to change your inner perception of yourself, rather than trying to deal with the world, deal with yourself, try to change how you see yourself.
And that sort of will jump into the, you know, how people acquire objects around them and stuff around them to make themselves feel good, but that doesn't do it. And there's a deeper shift that needs to take place.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the fifth book is called The Placebo by Joe Dispenza. I think a lot of people now have heard of his work, but this is where he really dives into the, you know, chemistry and neuropsychology and spirituality, and how he puts it all together. Because sometimes you read something on spirituality or you read something on business and it doesn't really make sense. It kind of throws different perspective in a book, and from scientific point of view, from that point of view, from that point of view, and make sense of it. So it also shifted the way I see certain things in my life, in my business. So absolutely.
So, you know, I'm really loving that notion of, you know, getting that outside feedback from your relationship, from your business, being well read, and seeking out information and new things to keep yourself engaged and excited. So with all of that, what was your animus experience like?
I think it was... I've always perceived it as a new, fresh beginning in my life with instilling proper thinking. I think animus... has given me a chance to, or maybe I've given myself a chance to, you know, to go through animus and experience life from multiple perspectives, and, you know, without trying to label something, without trying to attach a certain experience or name certain experience. And I've really enjoyed it, and I think the fact that I've read a lot before didn't influence me at all. You know, as I said before, I always try to look at something with a, you know, 6-year-old child's eye and see it from a new perspective. And I think animus helped me to establish myself or establish my thinking or help to form my thinking so I could kind of take the next step into business. And exactly what I wanted is if, you know, maybe the stars aligned or something else is aligned that I went through the animus. I'm super grateful. Every time I look back, I think that was the best experience I've ever gone through. And by the way, I remember watching you doing the training, and I think I kept on telling you that, but I looked up to you. I was like, one day I want to train, or I want to do public speaking or something in this medium, because I really enjoyed the way you communicated and the way you sort of introduced all the content. So it was quite inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So where can we find you? So we spoke about you as a coach, and we spoke about you as the sort of the retreat person. Where do we find you?
I think the easiest thing to do is to drop an email to info@travelinvision.com. It's travelinvision.com. Or you can always find me on Facebook or LinkedIn. It's Romans Ivanovs. And drop me a message. I'm pretty open to communication.
Awesome. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today, Roman. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
With my two hands in the air, as far as